We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Just about 20 minutes away from the Padres Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Our thanks to Benito Santiago for stopping by a little earlier. Now very proud and to welcome his co-inductee, Gary Templeton, joining us on the couch. He's actually on the Cholula hot seat since you've been a guest here on the Social Hour before. You know the drill, so we felt comfortable putting you on the hot seat. But first off, congratulations. I know you and Bill just talked, and Bill's been championing you for this for a long time, long overdue. But congratulations.
Long overdue.
Congratulations. We're really excited for you.
Thank you. You know, and like you said, you know, Bill has been campaigning for me for many, many years. And, you know, I think a lot of that hard work that Bill put in has finally, you know, paid off, I think, with the new owners.
I think a lot of the hard work that you put in over the years has finally paid off. No disrespect to Bill.
No. Hey, listen,
he did a great job.
I was ready to say the same thing. I'd like to start with something. Because down through, everybody sort of looked at trades and stuff. I want to say that there's a shortstop out there that a lot of people think, oh, boy, the 1984 Padres do not win the National League pennant if the guy next to me is not the shortstop of that ball club. He brought everything together. He was the on-the-field leader. 3 years later, he was actually named the captain of the Padres, but this was an essential part of maybe the greatest year in Padres history.
Yeah, you know, it was a special year for us, and that 84, like I said, I think me and you talked about it before, that's the year that Dick Williams and Jack McCann sat me down and said, hey, they wanted me to take a leadership role because of the younger players had on the team. So, you know, it did make me made me focus on, you know, what I had to do. And then you brought in the Goose Gossage and Nettles, you know, it was great. And, you know, they brought the winning attitude, so that just added to everything.
You were kind of like the only player in that middle ground age-wise where you had the young guys like Gwynn, Wiggins, and then you had the older guys like Garvey and Nettles and Gossage. So you kind of had to be that go-between, you know, the veteran guys and the hard-nosed and the young guys, and probably kind of make it all mesh together. The glue, like I've heard so many guys call you the glue of that team.
Yeah, because, you know, I had already – I think I had 5 years in, 6 years in at that particular time. So then you had Gossage and them. And Garvey, which was older, and the Nettles, you know, was a lot older. So, you know, I was that bridge in between. And, you know, I look back on it, I said, God, you know, I forgot that I was right in the middle. I had that middle age. And I had played 5 or 6 years. So, you know, I just tried to keep the team together. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to the young kids. And, you know, back then, the kids listened. You know, and I also had the veterans here. So, you know, I had a big part on both the young and the older players.
Back then, the kids listened, and the veterans were pretty crusty at times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back then, the veterans pretty much ran the team.
Right.
I mean, if you had a team like we did, Dick Williams, he didn't have to have no meetings or anything like that. It was the players of, you know, the veterans are the ones that got the young players and put them back in line.
I'm curious about that process, and I think you've talked about it before, from 82 when you came to the Padres to getting to 84. So Gwynn, Wiggins, McReynolds, Martinez, they start coming up, getting some playing time, 82, 83. You see that team building. You're a veteran presence there. Then they bring on those veteran guys to kind of finish that puzzle. How was that process? Could you see that team building into the greatness that it became?
Oh, yeah, because in 82, I believe they brought up Wiggins and Tony Gwynn right at the end of the season. And that's when Dick Williams, and then they also brought up Eric Shaw, Dave DeVecchi, Andy Hawkins, Thurman, I think it was, they brought up that whole pitching staff. And I was like, man, look at these arms. These guys can play. And Alan Wiggins was in left field. He took, I think it was Rupert Jones' place or Sixto Lescano. And Tony Gwynn, because Tony started left. That's what it was. Tony was in left. And then Rupert got hurt, and they moved Tony over to right field. And then I was like, man, look at the talent. And then that winter, and then they got rid of a lot of the guys that they felt were winners, and they kept those young kids, and they let them get their bats in 1983. Tony Gwynn got his at-bats, Wiggins, and Kevin McReynolds, and next thing you know, it was just a matter of having a closer, a setup guy, and a third baseman, because Louis Salazar at that time had went to White Sox, maybe?
Right, he had the first of several times that they traded Louis away.
And so by that time, you know, it was just a couple spots needed to be filled. And they ended up filling them. And spring training, we knew we had a winner.
Now, a lot's been said about your leadership, but let's also be honest that, one, in that year, 1984, you won the Silver Slugger in the National League among National League shortstops
right.
for hitting, and you also led the league in fielding for shortstops.
Yes, I did. I got the Silver Slugger, and I led in fielding. And, you know, but those were the things that Dick and them wanted me to do, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what I knew what my role was on the team, was to be a leader, go out there and play good hard-nosed defense, get everybody lined up, make sure everybody was in the right spot. And my knee was healthy.
Right, exactly.
And that's why I won the Silver Slugger Award, because my knee was healthy. And so, you know, that was an added dimension that I was healthy and I was able to swing the bat out of the eighth hole. So it made us real dangerous.
Talking to Gary Templeton here as he gets inducted to the Padres Hall of Fame tonight. I think one of the things that gets overlooked in the history of the Padres was probably how good that 1985 team was, getting at least to the midway point. Then things kind of fell apart. But you had to feel good about where that team was going as well.
Well, we thought that we had a much better team that year. And I don't know if people remember. I think Dick Quick, right before spring training, Dick Williams did. So they brought in, I think it was Burroughs?
Steve Boris.
And he didn't have the mentality or the managing skills to deal with those guys. So about halfway, right before the All-Star break, everything just started falling to pieces.
It's kind of one of those unlucky things, because the Padres had built such a good young team mm-hmm. with some good veterans that still had good years left and just didn't quite continue that success that they had hoped it was going to have.
Well, I thought the expectations, they talked about the expectations this year and looking back. I thought going into 1985 was the year that there were more expectations in
right.
San Diego than ever before.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I got the years mixed up, but 85, yeah, because I went to the All-Star game in 85.
Right. Dick was there.
Dick took me to the All-Star game in 85, but that year we should have won.
Right.
There was some – I mean, we had the pitching, defense. We had everything. And I don't know, about halfway – whatever happened right before the – right after the All-Star break.
It started to slip when you guys were in New York.
In New York, that's right.
Because you had actually driven Dwight Gooden out of a game. You mm-hmm. had an 8-0 lead in the first game of a doubleheader, and the Mets came back and got you,
mm-hmm.
and then you lost this. And that's the first time that you had slipped out of first all season.
Yeah, we slipped out of first, and next thing you know, things just kind of spiraled and went downhill. And I was actually a little sad, because I thought that team right there, we should have won.
I thought
Series.
That team was better than 84.
Oh, it was.
The kids were all experienced, and I mean, everybody was having a great year right until the middle of the season.
Right. Everybody was just playing terrific baseball, and it just spiraled. And next thing you know, and then I thought in 86 we had a good team, and Dick didn't show up for
right.
spring training.
That's when Dick quit.
That's when he quit.
Right before spring training. I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, man. Talking about your leadership, you're going to go in with a guy that you were essentially a mentor for in Benito Santiago. And, you know, talk about what you saw in his career, maybe what you worked on with him as a young player in this game.
Well, you know, I was – you know, back then, general managers talked to the top players, your veterans. And Jack McKinn told me in spring training, said, hey, you're going to like this kid. And he says, I want you to take care of him. So when the general manager tells you to take care of somebody, you do that. And once I seen him play, I was like, oh, what a talent. And I was just happy that we ended up keeping Benito, even though we had Robbie Alomar Jr. But Benito had talent that you had never seen in a catcher. Here's a guy that could hit for power. He could run. He could steal bases. He threw guys out from his knees. And he could handle the pitching staff, you know, at a young age. So the only thing I did with Benito was is I just tried to keep him on the straight and narrow, you know, knowing that there was going to be peaks and valleys. you know, all major league players go through these peaks and valleys. And when he was, you know, on the low, I had to find a way to bring him back up. And so, you know, I would go and take him out to dinner, hang out with him, bought him a suit or something, and, you know, relax him, and then go to the batting cage and throw a little extra BP, throw him soft toss or whatever, because we did that ourselves back then. We go to the cage, do extra work. Now the coaches do that kind of stuff.
You know, we talked about leadership. There's one thing that in 1987, Larry Boa made Gary the on-the-field captain. I still think you're the only captain in the
Padres. The last Padres captain,
right,
at least.
The last Padres captain, on-the-field captain.
Right. Well, what happened was when Larry Boa came in, Larry seen what I was doing, and he was like, you know, you've been doing this all these years. I said, yeah. He said, you know, you're the captain. And he didn't hesitate. He just made me the captain. But I was the unofficial.
You had already been the captain.
I was the unofficial right. captain already. He just actually put the name.
Gave you the honor. They didn't give you a C for your, like, hockey, did they?
No. They asked me if I wanted one on my
did
uniform,
they?
But I told them no. I said, everybody knows I'm the captain. So.
Everybody knew.
Mm-hmm. Well, that type of leadership and obviously outstanding play on the field has led to this day, you being inducted into the Padres Hall of Fame. So, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Really well-deserved honor. Appreciate your time, spending some time with us, talking to us. Really fun to talk to you, and enjoy the day. It should be an awesome one.
Yeah, it will be.
All right.
And thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Tippy.
Thanks, okay. Gary. He was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after the break.